Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. We always set this up as a foundation, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. And so what happens here is that he is actually talking to a church. Paul is talking to a church in Corinth that he helped establish and that he spent, I think, a year and a half there helping to establish. And so this was truly a Holy Ghost-filled Pentecostal church. They had prophecies going on, tongues, interpretation, and all of that. And actually, they got a little crazy. Things got a little out of hand. And it just became chaos. And so what he did in chapter 14 is he began to kind of help bring some order to it so that you understood kind of what the purpose of some of these things are. But he wasn't getting rid of it. He was saying, okay, let's just do these things from an orderly perspective. Okay, so in 1 Corinthians 14, 1, as he's beginning to bring in some of that order, he says this, pursue love. Somebody say, pursue love. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. All right, pursue love. In other words, before we ever start talking about what does it mean to flow in the gifts of the Spirit, to hear the voice of God, all of those things, we got to, our starting point can't be me focused. My starting point can't be, well, I want to hear from God. I want to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. I want to, because if it starts there, then you actually shut off the ability for God to really flow in your life. It should rather look like, Lord, how can I be used to help others? Lord, how can I be in a position for the benefit of others? Let me use an example. Solomon is a perfect example of this. As he's 20-something years old, God puts him on the throne of Israel. Can you imagine 20-something year olds, guys? If you became the king of a nation, my son's probably like, yeah, bring it on, right? We'll fix the whole nation, right? 20-something. He goes to meet with God. God comes to him in a dream. Says, ask, what shall I give you? And so, and here's a little inside secret. Why did God come to him in a dream? Because your dream's a revealer of truly what's in your heart. Okay, inside your dreams, what you feel and how you react is what's in your heart. All right, so I may share something about that here in just a moment. But he said, ask, what shall I give you? And here's what Solomon's response was. He said, look, I don't know how to come out. I don't know how to go out. I don't know how to come in. He said, I am just a child. And he said, so all I need from you, as he said, you have fulfilled your promise to David, my father. He said, so please just give me wisdom to be able to judge your people. Help me to help them, basically is what he was saying. And you know what God's response was? He said, because you did not ask for yourself riches and honor, because you did not ask for yourself long life, because you did not ask for yourself, you know, the life of your enemies. In all of those cases, for yourself, give me this, give me this, give me this. See, he said, because this was in your heart, all that Solomon wanted was something, wisdom, to be able to use for others. His heart was for the others. Same thing with the gifts of the Spirit. Our heart has to be for others. Pursue love, pursue love, pursue love, pursue love. And then what will happen as you pursue love, you'll ride that river of love into just experiencing the gifts of the Spirit. You'll hear from God more and more and more. And so after pursuing love, then he says desire spiritual gifts. So you do have to desire it. Okay, and that's what I want to talk to you about for just a few minutes tonight. Now, what we're also doing on Wednesday night, so this is going to apply, listen, across the board to many areas of your life. What I have to share with you for the next about 15, 20 minutes is going to, it can be applied. in so many areas. You know, we're having a primary focus on Wednesday nights, particularly on the Wednesday nights that we're not doing an Activate, on healing. We're going through that week after week after week. What we're doing is we are getting soaked in the Word of God on healing. We're just getting washed in the Word on healing. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, my son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them. They are health. The Word of God is health to all your flesh. I've talked about this. Out of your heart flow, he says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life. Out of it springs the issues of life. At your heart will determine the boundaries of your life, is really what that's talking about. See, and so it's important that as we stay in an atmosphere, as we stay in a place that we're getting soaked, that we're allowing the Word to just wash us, and to it's truly washing our brains. As you sit under the Word and hear it, you're being brainwashed. And that's okay. I want my brain to be washed with the truth of the Word of God. Amen. And so that's awesome. So what I want to talk to you about for a few minutes tonight is about hope and expectation. Hope and expectation. Now, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says this. It says, faith is the substance of things that are hoped for. It's the evidence of things that are not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Now, let me just start out. What is hope? What is hope? Hope can involve two aspects. It's the expectation of an event. Okay, like if you're looking forward to a particular event, you know, for Christmas, there's an expectation, there's a hope for an event, but it's also the anticipation of it happening. I also look at hope this way. It's really a positive expectation of something that's going to happen in your life. Now listen to this. This is so important. Because you can actually have an expectation of something negative that's going to happen, and that's not hope. That's dread. That's dread. Now listen, it's an expectation of something that's going to happen, but it has a negative. Some of you dread to go into work on Monday morning, right? There's an expectation of when I get there, I am not going to have a good day. It's going to be a blue Monday. And so there's an expectation. Let me talk about this with regards to healing for just a moment. Because what God wants to do is he wants us to shift our expectation. The life of the believer, Jesus came to give us an expected end. God said, I think it's Jeremiah chapter, 29:11 or something like that, that says that I know the plans that I have for you. I know the thoughts that I have for you, and they're good thoughts, and to give you an expected end. Can we pull that up on the screen? Jeremiah chapter, I'm thinking it's 29:11, right? Yeah, people know this scripture, all right? So look at what God's plan for you is. Thank you, Lord. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Man, see, what we got to do is start thinking about ourselves the way God thinks about us. All right, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and what? A hope. To give you a future and a hope. If you step into God's thoughts and plans for you, you can't be depressed. Because people get depressed when they don't have a hope for their future. That they don't see that anything's going to change. And so what we've done is we've in our society, and naturally, we've created negative expectations and a dread. Now, listen to me. sickness. I want to talk about this. I was thinking about these two little girls yesterday, because I think Seth told me that they were beginning to get some sniffles or something like that, or a little bit like that, right? And so in our own family, as our kids were growing up, what happened is as soon as noses started running a little bit, sniffles started coming, what it did, just that symptom created, hear me, an expectation that it was going to lead to a bigger cold, the flu, things like that. In other words, we took a natural thing that happened, and immediately, because we had an experience in the past, we allowed our experience to now create an expectation for our future. And so what happens is we've been conditioned in the world, we've been conditioned naturally to just expect negative to happen. Like some people, maybe not this people, but some people may be watching, some people here in Alabama, when they start having trouble breathing, they start having a dry cough, they're going to have this thought, coronavirus. From China. Guys, we're in Alabama. There's not been a case yet that's been shown in Alabama. But I promise you that somebody, they're going to have that thought. Why? Because there's such fear, you know, and I'm not downplaying the epidemic that's going on. But the fact of the matter is, if we live just natural lives, then we'd have something to be concerned about. But we're not. We've got Jesus himself on the inside of us. We've got the spirit of life on the inside of us. And so Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says, if the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he will give life to your fleshly body. The Spirit gives us life. But what has to happen? What has to happen? Our expectation needs to begin to change. Turn with me over. Let me go for 10 more minutes and I'm done. Turn with me over to Mark chapter 9, I think it is. I think I've missed that. Let me see here. Where is blind Bartimaeus? Anybody? What'd you say? Seth said he's dead now. Mark 10. Okay, there it is. Look at this. Thanks, son. Now, in verse 46, Mark chapter 10, verse 46, now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. So he's blind. He's begging. That's the life he lives. He's actually wearing a beggar's coat. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Now, let me ask you a question. He's blind. He's begging. Here's that Jesus is coming down the road. And so he starts crying out. What's going on inside? There's a expectation. There's a hope that the one that can heal him will heal him. He's not thinking about things are going to go from bad to worse. He's got a hope now that his life is about to change. How strong is this hope? Let's look. How strong is this hope? Son of David, have mercy on me. Wait a minute. And when he heard that it was Jesus, he began to cry out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy. And then verse 48, many warned him to be quiet. But here they are. Hey, be quiet. Don't bother him. Come on, keep it down over here. You're being a little bit too wild now. You know, I mean, you know, when we come into church, you know, I mean, we've got to have a certain dignified approach to the way that we, you know, have in our approach with God, and make sure that we're proper, and make sure. And so, you know, people are just trying to kind of keep them down here. He says, but he says here, he began, let's see here. He began to cry out. Let's see. They warned him. Oh, look at this. He cried out all the more. See, here's the thing. When you're sick, if you're blind, if you have a moment to experience freedom that you've been bound your whole life with, and you have an opportunity and you know that Jesus, the one with the answer, is coming by, let me ask you, is it more important to listen to the crowd and wait till you get alone with Jesus? Or is it forget whatever they say? I'm going to get to Jesus. I need to get his attention. He's the one that's got my healing. He's the one that can produce the miracle in my life. Blind Bartimaeus, he couldn't see him anyway, so it didn't really matter what kind of faces they were making at him, right? So it says here, he began to cry out the more. How strong is your expectation? How strong is your hope? When you hear bad news, when you see symptoms or things on your body, when you see the checking account, when you haven't heard the voice of God, does it immediately create discouragement? Does it create dread? Does it create fear? Or is there an ongoing hope and you're going to cry out the more? You're going to be stronger than ever before. Look at this. Let me show you how strong this was. And so Jesus, when he heard that, you know, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. It says, Jesus stood still. Jesus stood still. Jesus wasn't paying attention to everybody else. Jesus was ready to respond to the one who had faith and hope. And he commanded him to be called. And then I love this. They came to him and said, oh, be of good cheer. He's calling for you now. Like I was on your side the whole time. You know, and I mean, people, right? Be of good cheer. Rise. He calls you. Look at verse 50. This is huge. Throwing aside his garment, he arose and came to Jesus. What's significant about that? What's significant about that? The garment he was wearing, according to the law, was a beggar's garment. He had to wear it because that's the only way he could get income. And so it was his government approval that he could, that this was the life that he was going to live. He had such an expectation. Get a hold of this. Here he was seated. He had just said, Jesus, Son of David. He knew his miracle was coming. He was so sure of it that when Jesus called him, he went ahead and took off that beggar's garment because he wasn't going to have to beg anymore. There was about to be a change in his status, a change in his physical body, a change in his life because he was about to connect with Jesus, the Son of God, the one who could produce the miracle in his life. That is an expectation. That is a demonstration of a hope that he had. He didn't come to Jesus and said, hey, would you please just pray for me? No, this was a strong expectation and desire. God, I'm ready for my miracle. Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? It's important for you to voice what you want from God. You know, I have a silent prayer request. Well, God may have a silent answer. Vocalize. God says, ask, and you shall receive. Ask. Jesus said, what do you want me to do? I mean, don't you think Jesus knew that the man wanted to be healed? What did he need? He needed to get him involved and vocalize what it was and speak. I want to be Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said, go your way, your faith. Notice that, your faith. Your faith. He had a hope, he had an expectation, but then he had a belief. It's made you well. And immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Praise God. Finally, Romans chapter 5. I may pick up on this again next week, but we want to move into a time for the Spirit of God just to now to move amongst us. Hannah, where are you? If I can get you on the guitar, we'll... In Romans chapter 5, and what I want you to see here in verse 3, this is not a fun scripture, by the way, what I'm about to read you. People look at this completely wrong. And this sounds like a terrible scripture. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Ugh. I hate that. I got a glory. I'm suffering. I'm suffering today. I'm going through a trial. But I'm going to glory. I'm going to glory in the tribulation. And it's going to produce patience in my life. And perseverance. And God's working in me. I have no idea what, but I know he's working something in me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Wait a minute. I think maybe we're missing something here. Look at this. I'm just going to read the next few verses, and then I'm going to explain it very quickly. Knowing that tribulation works patience, patience experience, experience what? Experience what? Hope. So this tells me that God wants us to have an experience that will produce hope. He doesn't want us... Look, most people get it wrong. When a trial, whatever that looks like for them, comes, it creates an experience that they dread the next trial. Because it's the wrong perspective. It's the wrong thought. And hope makes not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us, the Holy Spirit that is given to us. Let me give you an example, okay? Let me make this really, really easy for you without going too far into it. Let's suppose you wanted to pick up the game of tennis, okay? You wanted to learn how to play tennis. So you go and you start taking lessons. Okay? Are you learning to play tennis? What if you never play a game of tennis? Is that the point? Is just to do practice and never to play the game? No. No, at some point you got to play a game. You got to find competition that's better than you. And if you and that competition, that struggle, if you will, in the game is a trial, is a tribulation. You're going through this opportunity, if you will, but for the purpose, if you get beat, you're like, okay, I learned something from this, but it's going to create perseverance. It's going to create consistency. You're going to learn. You're actually learning how to use what you've learned so that you can get better and so that you can win. Every opportunity that comes to us in life is an opportunity for Jesus, the reigning King, to get glory as we get victory. Now, thanks be unto God, who always, somebody say always, who always causes us to triumph. He always causes us to triumph. There's a whole list of things in Romans 8. You know, death, life, height, whatever. And it says, what will be able to separate us from the love of God? Nothing. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. So here's the deal. Listen, stop thinking about trials and tribulation and stuff. Start looking for the opportunity. Do you know that David, we would have never had the testimony of David killing the giant if David did like so many people, like, why is this happening to me? Why is there a giant in my life? No. David got up. He's like, who is this uncircumcised Philistine, this man without a covenant? And the Bible says when he got the five stones, he ran towards the giant. Are you running towards your situation? Are you running towards the sickness? Are you running towards whatever's going on in your life, expecting victory and expecting the reigning king to cause you to come through it on the other side so it produces a new experience and a new expectation? Can I tell you that what happened for Jennifer and I 8.5 years ago is we started changing our expectation. Everything that happens in our life, we say, Father, we thank you. You're working out everything for our good. If we get a symptom, if a sniffle or anything like that, we're just like, Father, you're going to get complete glory through the healing of this right now. We stop it in Jesus' name, and we stop dreading evil to come, bad things to come, because we have the greater one on the inside of us. And so I want to encourage you as we move into the next phase of just kind of flowing with the Spirit of God. If you find yourself fearing, dreading, you've got a wrong expectation, you need to go to the Word of God and say, I'm changing my expectation. And you're going to have to, the Bible says, you know, soul, my soul, why are you cast down? You need to hope in the Lord. Your hope, it's in that emotionary. I'm actually going to deal with this some more next week. So this is just part one of talking about hope and expectation and how to develop that. But now what I want you to do is as we move into just letting the Spirit of God flow for the next 20-25 minutes or so with what's going to happen, I want you to have an expectation. You desire spiritual gifts, but you need to expect to hear from the Spirit of God. You need to have a hope. You need to see, you know, let the Spirit of God flow. Instead of just saying, well, Lord, here I am, and if you want to use me, use me. Have an expectation that he will speak to you. Okay? So here's what we're going to do for the live stream audience. Since this is Wednesday Activate, what we do most of the time is we move into just kind of a time that people, as they're stepping into, maybe some for the first time, listening to the voice of God, hearing the Spirit of God. We want to make it comfortable. We want this to be a safe space, a safe place for them so that they're not worried about who's watching me and that sort of thing. And so what we'll do is we're going to go ahead and stop the live stream and just move into this time of activation right now. And so we bless you. Have an awesome evening, and see you soon.